Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. We're on episode 210, and this episode I'm going to title Feminism and Slow Living. And I'll get into that in a second, but I just want to thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for everyone who has taken the time to write to me and to let me know that you're here, finding me on Instagram, sending me little messages. Also, thank you for all of the support that you've shown Kelsey these past 12 weeks of podcast episodes. It was a lot. And many of you wrote and said that you didn't think you could relate in any way when Kelsey first introduced herself, but wanted to keep listening. And then over time, as different levels and layers got kind of peeled away, and you did resonate and you did find something in common with her. And you did understand her story and what she was going through. And even though maybe something doesn't particularly relate to your own life, you could still get her and have empathy and maybe apply different nuances to you, your life, or to share with a friend. And so I just want to really thank you for taking the time to listen and for being so open and curious to get to know someone else. Coming up next week, I'm going to introduce you to Melissa. I did the same thing with Melissa that I did with Kelsey. Melissa is completely different. She's in her 50s. She has 4 kids, and she and her husband are in the process of downsizing and decluttering. She's also writing a book. Her story is completely and totally different than Kelsey. She is out of the little kid era. And again, this might not be you. Maybe you don't think you could relate to someone who is older than you or in a different phase of life because you're not there yet and you just can't wrap your brain around it. And I encourage you to give it a try because we're all just humans, humaning around and trying to do the absolute best we can with the game that we're playing. And we're all playing a different game. And this is where slow living really breaks apart from like hustle culture or girl boss, you can do it all culture or any other type of goal setting and achieving program or podcast or self-help or anything that you've listened to or followed in the past. Because it's about applying these tools to your own life. It's simply looking only within. How can I take what I'm learning right now and apply it? It's not a one-size-fits-all world. It's not thinking and hoping and praying and having just this idea that if you think and pray and hope hard enough, your life could magically, instantly change and you can be just like that out of debt and have millions and millions in the bank. And if you don't, it's because you're doing something wrong. Slow living is about accepting who you are and then thinking about where it is you want to be. And then in a sustainable and steady approach, getting you there bit by bit. It's not being unrealistic. It's not thinking that you can all of a sudden play professional sports if you've never even done it and you're a middle-aged woman. Probably not. Probably you're not gonna play like professional softball or professional basketball or something like that. And I use that as an example. Because sometimes some people, when they're doing something for the first time, they envision like knocking it out of the park. Maybe downloading, I'm just going to use Kelsey for an example for a second. Maybe you can understand downloading the Couch to 5K app and then daydreaming and envisioning you being able to run that 5K, and you can see yourself crossing the finish line and you can see your family cheering. But in week four, your knee swells up and you just can't do it yet. And maybe the timeline you had is not realistic. That doesn't mean in your lifetime you can't do a 5K. You absolutely can. But if you've never run a day in your life, maybe putting a 5K on the calendar in 6 months or in a year isn't a possibility. But in 3 years or 5 years, it absolutely can. And so I just want you to start the habit and start doing the things and not put a huge pressury timeline on yourself. That's why I'm not a fan of SMART goals. I want you to do you. I want you to listen to your body. If the Couch to 5K program is designed to get you to get off the couch and run a 5K in only 6 weeks, and it takes you 6 weeks to get up to the second week mark, I don't care. Who cares? That's just an advertising like gimmick and something to get you to click on the link, to buy now, to download the app. The timeline is completely and totally arbitrary, and it does not mean you failed. That is hustle culture. So today, we're going to tie slow living into feminism, and that's because it's come up a little bit in my own personal life. It's come up in the news a little bit, and then it's come up on coaching calls of I'm either a feminist or I'm not, or this is feminism and this is not. I recently watched Bombshell on Netflix, and it was talking about women newscasters. It was kind of it wasn't a mockumentary because they weren't mocking anything, but it was a fictionalized portrayal of actual real events. And it was women who ended up suing people at a news studio because they were harassed. And it was talking about misogynistic culture. I'm not going to name the name of the newscast. I'm not going to name anything. If you want to look it up, it had Charlize Theron and Nicole Kidman and Margot Robbie in it. I think I've watched it a few years ago. I probably rented it from Amazon, but it did just get dropped on Netflix. So I rewatched it, and I'm raising 3 girls, future women. They are now currently at this recording because they will be 20. They are 24, 21, and 15. And I want them to believe in themselves and that anything they put their mind to and set out to do, they can do regardless of their gender, regardless of their biology. And also, I point out that we don't necessarily live in a very fair world, and misogyny is real, and patriarchy is real, and you will butt against it in your life, even if you have a positive mindset, even if you think that we should have evolved from that in this day and age. Unfortunately, it's there, and ignoring it or dismissing it isn't playing the game. The game is acknowledging that it's real. So I want to say right off the bat, I am a feminist. I believe women should have equal opportunities, equal rights, equal pay, equal everything. But I also believe that feminism, like anything else, is nuanced. And when we try to live in this black and white thinking where feminism equals a certain something, maybe you believe or others believe it equals career above all else, or where having it all means actually you physically doing it all. That's how women end up exhausted and burnt out and disillusioned and disconnected. And I want you to really, the takeaway from this episode, if you're like, what are you trying to say, Steph? I want you to get to know you and who you are and your own body and your own lived experience. So this episode is about slowing down and how it relates to feminism. So right now, take a deep breath, unclench your jaw, relax your shoulders, and know that I am on your side. However you think about this topic, whatever your preconceived notions are, however you were raised, I want you to know that you are not wrong. You are correct. This is how you are, and there is nothing wrong with you at all. If slowing down is about looking within, think about how you can honor your ambition and then also honor your biology. How can you be feminists and also admit that sometimes throughout the ages, what we've been sold as women empowerment could actually be capitalistic, patriarchal thinking and acting designed by marketers, designed by people trying to sell you things, and it actually leaves us feeling depleted and dejected and feeling like we must be doing something wrong. Because this really is what kind of girl boss, kind of internet hype and hustle culture and thinking and actioning is. It's to make us feel like whatever we're doing it wrong. And only, if only we bought this new gadget or decided not to sleep or eat or take bathroom breaks, we too could have it all. Okay, so let's talk about girl boss era. So if you grew up in the 70s, 80s, or 90s, the way I did, you probably were told you could do anything, be anything, achieve anything. You just had to work hard enough. You could become an astronaut, a CEO, a Supreme Court justice. You also could keep a spotless kitchen and raise 2.2 kids, have a golden retriever in the yard, have a picket fence, have a perfectly organized linen closet and spice cabinet, and keep your hair just so and fit into your size 6 jeans. And for the love of God, keep your husband happy. Okay. Lovely. So let's think about this message. Maybe on paper, maybe in a Manhattan glossy boardroom where they're coming up with ad slogans. I'm envisioning Don Draper here. Maybe to some it's hopeful, and maybe it's inspiring, and maybe it's absolutely necessary in order to sell. But here's the catch. We were also told that biology and in your body didn't really matter and that maybe your fertility was something you could schedule for later. Maybe that motherhood would come naturally and easily and that work-life balance was achievable if only you had the correct planner and the correct mindset. And if you had this village right around you, and if you put your kids in the absolute best daycare and child care, and if only you had the absolute correct and right attitude. And then real life hit, your own life hit. So one woman I recently was on a coaching call shared with me. She was talking about the realities of fertility and pregnancy and childbirth and postpartum recovery and then breastfeeding and childcare costs. None of this was ever explained. She was chasing different degrees and different work accolades and was wanting to compartmentalize. And I get it. And this again is something that has been sold to us. The idea that having it all often collides with reality. So I had done a podcast episode a while ago. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it's reality divided by expectations divided by reality equals disappointment. And so I said that was like a formula for disappointment. When you have the idea that everything you do is going to work out perfectly because that's what we're told in school, that's what marketers told us, that's what hustle culture and girl boss marketing tells us, and then the reality shows up, it really makes you feel less than. And it really sort of like puts a shining light on the unequal load that still exists between traditional men and women. And one of the things that got brought up in this coaching call was this line, and it since kind of haunted me, and it got me thinking about how I should talk about this in this particular podcast episode. So it was a meme, and the woman just sort of rattled it off and quoted it, that as a woman, you're expected to work like you don't have a family. And you're also expected to raise your children like you don't have a job, which is the complete and total opposite of how we were raised in the 70s, 80s, 90s, in this kind of girl boss culture of you can do it all, have it all, be it all. But this meme that you're expected to work like you don't have a family and raise your children like you don't have a job. So you're dismissing such great, big, huge parts of you while you are actively working at your job or actively raising your children. So I can absolutely see how this mindset bubbles up, especially if in some situations, women are still stuck as just not being acknowledged the same way men are in boardrooms or in any sort of work setting. I happen to be working in a very female-centric job right now. So when I stayed home with my kids, I worked on the internet and worked for Blogger and was surrounded by women. And I noticed often that if we were surrounded by women, if a man walked in the room, things would shift. People would turn. People would maybe unconsciously think that the man in the room had something better to say or something more powerful to say. And over time, this has been ingrained in men, unbeknownst to them, perhaps maybe, that they just have more power. The power shifts when a man walks in a room. I notice it in education. I'm currently a school site secretary. And again, very female dominated profession. And within like the hierarchy of the school district, same. Yet there are some men, when they walk into a room, suck the life out, talk over women, and act as if they do know it all. And some women, depending on how they were raised and who they are, and if they haven't taken a check, turn and wait for a man to decide. And I have consciously always wanted to not do that and not model that behavior to my own daughters. But it was a very conscious decision. Cause I mean, we grew up even with TV shows, Leave It to Beaver on the field. Well, wait until your dad comes home and the Brady Bunch. Well, wait, well, I'll have to discuss this. And there are times even I found myself doing it as a young wife and mom. If PG&E would knock on the door and stuff, it's just it was easier if I didn't want to make a decision to say, oh, I'll need to discuss this with my husband, or, oh, I don't know, I'll check with my husband. And after a while, I realized, well, I've got these little kids watching what I'm saying. I'm not going to use that line anymore. So I'd say, oh, okay, thanks for the info. I'll think about it and get back to you, and then close the door. And really, because we try to have an equal partnership, I do run most things by Adam. I, though, happen to be a very quick decision maker when it comes to things. I'm just going to use, we're redoing a bathroom right now. If Adam says, which cabinet pulls do you like? I will point to one quickly and say, I like these. And then I'm done. I don't necessarily want my decision to be second guessed or be thought of like, well, have you thought of this? And have you thought of that? And this is because I have actually, in my mind, been remodeling and redesigning this bathroom for a good 10 to 15 years. I already know what I like. I already have the vision in my brain. So to some, it might look like I've made a very quick decision and I haven't thought about this and I haven't read enough Amazon reviews and I haven't, but I have, like I have. And so I get really frustrated when I make a decision and it gets second guessed, especially if it gets second guessed by a man, or in this case, Adam, because the idea that someone knows better, to me is really triggering. Okay. So one, I want you to honor and pay attention to your biology. And two, I want you to really pay attention to whether or not you ever bow down or kowtow in a way where it is portraying you or any other woman in the room as the lesser sex. And just start to be aware of power dynamics and power shifts. And then I also want you to pay attention in your own life, in your own relationships. And if you are partnered up and if you are in a marriage, go back maybe and listen to episode 146, where I share tips for being married for over 25 years. And marry carefully. If you're not married, marry very carefully and vet your partner very, very carefully before you get into things. No politics. Understand religious beliefs and try and air out as much as you can differences before getting married. And there is a huge reason I don't spend all that much time talking about relationships and why it's the last component in the peace pyramid before you put that peace part of the pyramid on. And it's because you are whole without anyone else, and you do not need to be partnered up. I will always want and I will always advise you to build out the base of your peace pyramid first and know who you are without a partner. Because honestly, the idea that you don't need anyone to complete you is a huge idea of feminism and something that I wholeheartedly agree with. Okay. So, slow living and feminism. The acronym for SLOW is to simply look only within. And that's the antidote to the one-size-fits-all feminism of the girl boss era. Because real feminism isn't about fitting into a predetermined mold. And whether that mold is a full-time working career woman child-free, has children, stay-at-home mom, high-powered executive, or an impossible blend of both. Real feminism is about choice, and choice requires awareness, honesty, and listening to your intuition. When we simply look only within, we stop following rules just for the sake of following rules, and we stop chasing checklists of what a good woman, a successful woman, a good mom, a successful mom should do, act, or be. And we stop measuring ourselves against timelines that may not match our actual bodies, our actual desires, or our capacity. And slow living allows space for whimsy, for nuance, for intuition, and for changing your mind, and for saying, this is what's right for me right now. I really would like for you to get to know your body. One of the biggest disconnects I see, and something that comes up often in coaching calls, is that some women don't take the time to really truly understand how their bodies work. And maybe they compartmentalized their life in such a way that they delayed getting to know their body and getting to understand the nuances of their cycle and how conception works for them, how recovering from childbirth and the postpartum period will affect them, for understanding hormones and what that means for their own body, and then navigating postpartum, paying attention in your 30s to the signs of perimenopause and all of the different things, and not thinking, well, that's just something I'm going to worry about in my 40s. So the same way, I'm going to go back to the bathroom. The same way, even though now we're redoing the bathroom, I'd been thinking about redoing the bathroom for 10 or 15 years. And so that's why I already knew the knobs. So when the time came to make the decision, when it was presented to me, I already had done the research. I already understood what I wanted. I already had a vision in place. And I wasn't going to 10 or 15 years ago when I was daydreaming about the bathroom to not think about hinges and knobs and a color scheme. I was going to think about them. So think about them now. And think about your 60s and 70s when you're in your 40s and 50s and plan. So then later when stuff comes up, you're not surprised. You're not blindsided. You're not wondering, why am I passing great big huge blood clots right now? One of the things that I think holds us back when it comes to women is this idea that nobody told me. How come the older generation didn't tell me that maybe for me, conceiving is going to be hard, or the postpartum period is so much that I'm going to feel like I got hit by a truck, and people gloss over childbirth and people gloss over the postpartum period. And I want you to one, just realize that that's just maybe how in polite society and women getting together for book chats and coffee dates and play dates, maybe they are masking to a certain extent and aren't sharing the nitty gritty. But it doesn't mean that the information isn't out there. We all have a super powerful computer in our back pocket at any time. And you can look stuff up and you can find people openly sharing absolutely everything in many different circles and online. And then from there, you can find them in your real life. But the intuition that you have to look within. I really just want you to pay attention to that and learn what your own body needs and respect it, not as a limit, but as wisdom. And I want you to be curious and learn from others. If you want information, ask and release the notion that people are going to share freely dark thoughts, maybe, or maybe not shiny, happy, pretty people thoughts. Maybe in order to get that information, you need to dig or you need to ask some pointed questions. So here's your invitation for today. Simply look only within and check in with your body and ask yourself, what is it that I actually want? What is it I actually need? And then, in a thoughtful way, go for it. Don't follow rules just for the sake of following rules. Don't chase achievements just because you're told that's what a good feminist does. Create your own version of feminism, one that honors your body, your intuition, and your life stage. Because true empowerment comes when you stop living for anyone else and you start living slowly, intentionally, and in an authentic way. I'm going to list some past episodes you've probably already listened to, and you've probably already listened to me recommend them in past episodes. And the reason I do it is when you listen to something that you may have already listened to a year or two ago, you have fresh ears, you have fresh ideas. Who you are, who you were 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago is not who you are now. And that is also another idea of feminism, that you're constantly evolving. You're constantly changing. Who you were raised to be, isn't who you're destined to be forever and ever. You really can change who you are, and you can be a shining example to future generations just by changing your mindset and then in slowly, teeny tiny baby steps, going from where you are to who you to where you want to be. And who you want to be. So way back in episode 17, I record an episode. It's not you, it's your hormones. And this is about understanding and knowing your body and responding to with biology instead of ignoring it for the sake of hustle or career expectations. Episode 86, work-life balance. This is a direct tie-in to the girl boss promise that you can have it all. Career, kids, hobbies, and social life. And how slow living reframes what balance really means. Episode 131, Women's Health. So this is kind of a companion episode, and it's a, it's about body awareness. Especially it emphasizes intuition, rhythms, cycles, and how feminism and health intersect. Episode 132, Diet Culture. OMG. Again, if you're raised 70s, 80s, 90s, this talks about the patriarchal, misogynistic way that diet culture has just kind of been ingrained in women. And it unpacks external expectations from culture and from media, which shapes how women relate to your bodies. Episode 174, that's an interview with Laisha Drews, and we talked about happily hormonal, and it's a guest perspective from Laisha, and it addresses female biology and hormones and reinforces that women's bodies deserve to be understood, supported, and honored, not dismissed, and not pushed into a certain mold or box. And then episode 179, jobs, career, and identity. And it ties into the struggle of defining worth and identity through career versus embracing all the layers of life, including motherhood and including deciding on purpose to be child-free. Okay, pretty people. I hope that was helpful in some way. Let me know your thoughts. I am a real person. If you write to me, I will write you back. What are your thoughts? How were you raised? How have you changed your ideas and beliefs about feminism as you've aged and in different stages in life? I'd love to hear your thoughts. As always, I think you're amazing and lovely and wonderful. I'm so proud of you. Thank you for being here. Give yourself a hug. I'll be back in your earbuds and we'll introduce you to Melissa next week. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.